And so this evening we're looking at the character trait of decisiveness, character that counts. We know that Jesus Christ, I told you in the beginning, there's around 60 character traits that are found in the life of Christ. And if they're in Christ-like life, if we are going to be Christ-like and if we're going to be Christians and do what God wants us to do, then be like Christ, we want these character traits defined or found in our life. We have several places in the Scriptures, key texts that are going to whenever you look at the idea of somebody making a choice, making a decision, deciding on something. One of the key ones is Elisha standing on the top of Mount Carmel with the prophets of Baal, and he says, "Hey, listen, how long halt you between two opinions? If God be God, serve him. If Baal be God, serve him. But let's not halt between two opinions. Let's decide what God wants us to do. Let's determine what the path is, make a decision, and go forward for God." What I want you to understand that as we look at this idea of decisiveness tonight, many people on the surface, they may think, "Oh, well, I've got that. I mean, making a decision, I can make a decision." That's pretty basic understanding that decisiveness, and we need to do that, so I should be okay on this one. I hope this evening I'm able to go a little bit beyond the surface. I hope we can dig down a little bit and maybe challenge us to see the importance of it and how we're doing in our lives. And also the real importance of teaching this principle to the next generation, getting them to the place where they can make a decision. Do you understand that life is not a single long corridor that you just walk down and there's one door at the end? Life is not just, you've got this is your corridor, and at the end you walk out that door and that's where you're going to be. The fact of the matter is every corridor of life, it has in it a plethora of doors. And you as an individual, you determine which door you're going to take. And when you take that door, lo and behold, it opens up to another corridor full of doors. And you choose in that hallway what door you're going to take, and that opens up to another corridor full of doors. And that is the process of life. It is decision after decision after decision after decision, each one of us making the choices in the past that we've made have brought us to the place where we are. Most people today would like to say they where they are because of the corridor they were given, because of the corridor or the hallway they had or they were stuck with. But what I want you to understand is from the very, very youngest of ages, all the way down here to Titus. All the way to Titus, he is right now making choices that is shaping his future. From the very youngest of age, you choose what door you're going to go through. You decide on the playground if you're going to be friendly and have friends, and if you're going to try and get along with people and play well with others. That was one of the check things on our report cards. Plays well with others. Needs improvement. Amen. Doing good. I don't know. Hey, you determine how you're going to act and participate, and if you're going to be friends with people or if you're going to be snobbish. You decide if you're going to be a person that's forgiving and let people have some grace, or if you're going to be able to hold a grudge and burn your bridges and cut off all your relationships and not be able to maintain the friendships you build in your life. You're the one that decides if you're going to study hard and apply yourself and learn what you need to learn to be successful, or if you're going to be lazy and slothful and just get by with life and spend your afternoons and days on the couch and then blame the fact that you don't have anything in this life on the hallway you were given. Come on now. You choose. Where you are today is a result of the choices, the hallways and the doorways that you chose to walk down. And our generation, our culture today is just full up with people that want to blame the hallway they're in right now on somebody else. But the fact of the matter is, it's a choice they made. It's the decisions they made that left them there. You're the one that decides whether you're going to be happy or sad.
You're the one that decides if you want to live your life on the backside of some cloudy, dungy old rain cloud and everything's dreary and there's no hope for you, or whether you're going to determine to get up in the morning and say, this is a day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Hey, the sun might not be shining outside, but it's shining in my heart. Hey, it might be cloudy outside, but it's not cloudy in here. I mean, you're the one that determines how much joy you're going to have. What kind of an attitude you're going to have. Young people, you decide what kind of attitude you're going to have. You say, oh man, it's too hot to have a good attitude. Since when does the temperature have to do with your attitude? Since when does what's going on in your life determine how you're going to act or react? It's your choice. You make that decision. As we look tonight at this idea of character that counts, decisiveness, making decisions, let's break it down for you. I've got to move quickly to get through these things here in the next few minutes. First of all, the dictionary definition, the idea of having the power or quality of deciding, putting to end the controversy. The 1828 dictionary says, putting to end the controversy. There's no longer a debate in your mind. There's no controversy. It's decided. It's making a decision, determining what you're going to do. An officer once came to General Grant and walked into his headquarters and asked for his attention. And he said, do you understand the vast money involved in the order that you've just given? He said, General Grant, is that the right thing? Are you sure? And he said, no, I'm not sure. But in war, anything is better than indecision. We must decide, and we will soon know if I'm wrong. Then we'll act accordingly. But to not decide at all, waste both time and money, and quite possibly would be the loss of everything. We've got to be able to make a decision to determine a course of action. At its very core, what we're talking about is being able to make up your mind, to decide. And when you do that, one has to be willing to live with the consequences. This is the problem with our culture and our mindset today, is people want to make a decision, and then they want to say, oh, I didn't realize how much money that was I was borrowing. I'm going to have to declare bankruptcy because I just don't have that much money. Wait a minute, you chose to borrow that money. You chose to go down that path. Wait a minute, this is what you decided to do. Oh, no, but I didn't understand. That guy did not explain it to me very good. It's your choice. And you've got to live with the consequences. Good or bad, you decide. You make the decision. That's what a lot of times causes people to halt or not want to decide or make a decision, is because they are concerned about the consequences. One has to be willing to sacrifice the loss that comes with each decision you make. You understand, if I'm in a corridor, I'm in this long hallway, and there's a door I get to choose. You know that by choosing that door, I no longer have options for door 3 or 4 or 5 or 6. I chose door number 2, so that's the door I get. Wait a minute, there might have been a car behind door number 4. I want that door. Too late. You have to be willing to sacrifice whatever that is, and a lot of times young people aren't willing to do that. Young people, they have an option to make a choice, and you say, okay, do you want a hamburger or a hot dog? They don't want to give up one of them. You can't have both. You know, you got to decide. You got to choose. And so any decision you make is sacrificing the other possibilities. The opposite of decisiveness is double-mindedness. Double-mindedness. James chapter 1, verse number 8, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. We can't, as Christians, be double-minded. The idea of decisiveness in the Scriptures is really dealing with making the right kind of decisions. And I'm jumping ahead of myself here, but there's more to being decisive than just making a decision. We can't be double-minded. We have to know, you understand that we have in our mind, everybody has a certain course of action that they want to take, a direction that they want to go. As Christians, we hope our lives are shaped by and our decisions are made in light of the fact that we're Christians and Jesus Christ has given us that course of action. But every decision we make is based off the course or the direction that we're set, that we're headed. The problem with a double-minded man is he's not headed in a direction. He hasn't determined yet what's valuable to him. He hasn't decided what is of utmost importance. What is the number one thing? And everything else is decided based off of that. He's double-minded. That's to be irresolute, to be unfixed, to have no leading or direction. But the fact of the matter is, Christians, we are to be single-minded. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. We are to have the mind of Christ and let him direct us. I want to talk to you for just a minute about the point of decision. The point of decision. Some great wisdom from Yogi Bear. Yogi Bear said, when there's a fork in the road, take it. Every one of us come to a fork in the road. We come to a place between choosing between this door or that, or this path or that. The point of decision, let me ask you, if I have four or five doors that I get to choose from, is the point of decision when I put my hand on this door and start to open it? It's a trick question. No, it's not. The point of decision is back here before I ever started heading to that door. It's way back here, and we talked about this last week. Where is every battle fought, won, or lost? In our mind. In your mind. The moment our mind looks at door number two and says, that looks like a good door. That looks like a good option. And we begin to start heading that way. Do you understand? As soon as you step towards that door, in your mind, you start to justify why that's the best choice. You haven't even opened the door yet, but you start to say, well, after all, these other doors look dirty. This is probably the best door. Immediately, you haven't even chosen it, really, I've walked through the door yet, but immediately you start to justify in your mind why that choice is right. Whatever the decision is, the point of decision that we come to in our lives, that's going to come, the point of decision when the devil comes to you with that temptation, and you decide in your mind to resist the devil and follow God, or to go and do what the devil wants you to do. You choose whether you're going to quit, give up, walk away. You choose whether you're going to continue to follow God, or whether you're going to try that sin just one time. Whether you're going to just be lazy this one time. I think of Daniel in the lion's den and the point of decision when he heard, hey, you can't pray anymore. And he had to decide. You know how he made his decision? It was based off the what he set as most important in his life and the direction he was headed. So when that point of decision came, he made his decision to honor God. The three Hebrew children, the point of decision came. Are they going to do right, or are they going to bow like everybody else? And they didn't. They stood. You think about Lot. Lot's point of decision came. And he looked, and he cast his tent towards the well-watered plains. What does this look like in our life? What's the deployment of this in our life, the making of decisions day by day? Some sources suggest the average person makes a staggering 35,000 choices a day. That's according to some research done at some university. It's very, very prevalent. To me, it seems way out there. Did somebody count all the choices they had? I don't know. I don't know where they came up with the number. But the fact of the matter is we do make a lot of choices every day. If we say 35,000, that's roughly 2,000 decisions every hour, or one decision every 2 seconds that we make throughout the day. Now, you've been sitting in here, and you guys haven't decided anything in the last 15 minutes. So you're behind on your decision-making for the day. Now, I don't know where they came up with the number, but you understand we make a lot of decisions every day, right? Some of them have no significance at all. Like, unconsciously, you determine which shoe you're going to put on first. You make decisions unconsciously, just as a habit of life, as a habit of the direction that you're headed. By the way, I don't have time to run down this trail, but you understand you make some habits in your life, and it's no longer a decision. It's not something you have to decide. You just know you're supposed to be in church, and that's what you do, and it's a habit of life, and so you're in church because that's where you're supposed to be. Amen? And we could go a lot further with developing and building habits, which is no longer a decision you have to make. It's just something that you do. It's something that you are because we are Christians. Some habits have no real significance. Sorry, some decisions have no real significance. They become habits of life. Some have a little significance. Like, where to eat lunch. That could make a little bit of difference. Depending upon where you go, it could make a lot of difference. How much money you spend for the lunch, what type of food you're taking in, and so on. But I mean, in the grand scheme of things, probably going to be okay. A little bit of difference, you know, what route you take to work. You could drive this way or that way. You could choose this path or that. I mean, you're probably going to get there either way. You know, it's not a whole lot of difference. Might be caught a little bit in traffic here or there. Whether to make a small purchase or not. To spend this money on this or that, these small items. Some things that have a little bit of significance. There are some that have great significance in our lives, like where you're going to go to church, where you're going to be fed spiritually. We've got a college here. I think this is a major decision for young people, where they're going to go to college, where they're going to get trained for the ministry. You understand, young men? Wherever you go to college, you're probably going to meet the young lady that's going to be. Yeah, when you're 23, amen. You're going to meet that young lady. Well, if you're in the wrong place, you're going to meet the wrong girl. Or you're not going to meet a girl at all. Man, some of you are in trouble. You better figure out where God wants you to go. You better be at the right place. Because that determines a lot of things. That's a door that when you open it and you go down that door, that's a corridor that just shut off a lot of other options. You need to find and know God's will in that matter. Say, this is what God wants me to do. You do what God wants. It's a major decision. Major purchases that you make in your life. How many messes have been made of homes? You know, number one, number two, probably number one and number two cause of divorce is financial problems. It's certainly in the top three. But do you know how people have financial problems? Because they make dumb decisions. You buy a house that's way too big for you and you don't have enough money to pay for it. You open that door. Man, now what are we going to do? There are some decisions that really have great significance on our future and where we're going to be. Listen, brother, I'm going to put Brother Matt on the spot. Brother Matt, he just temporarily, for a short while, got a house up in York. Right? For a short while. This is a step for him. But you understand, by him being that far from the church... What did I tell you when you looked at that house? No, I wasn't going to tell them that. I told you it's going to be hard to be faithful. It's going to be hard to be active in church. Because he's got a long drive to get here. So that choice, although for them it was a step, it's just for now. As God opens the door and blesses, he'll be able to get closer. But hey, that's a major decision. Because it affects your availability. It affects how well you can serve God. And I'm sorry, Brother Matt, I was not going to. I think they would be the first to admit it. It makes it hard. So even where you buy your house is important. It makes what we can do for God. These decisions. As Christians, decisiveness is the ability to make sound biblical decisions. It's not just make a decision, just decide. We know we can decide something and make a mess, right? But we want to be able to make sound biblical decisions. It's more than just deciding. Having made up your mind to follow Christ and do what Christ wants you to do. Having a set of guiding principles given to us by Christ makes these job of making these decisions a lot easier. We need to be decisive in many areas of our life. I'm just going to skip right down through that. We've got a whole section here I'm going to have to leave out. There's areas where we need to be decisive. And what gives us decisiveness is knowing what we believe. And having direction given to us by God. That's what makes us decisive. There's many people through the scriptures we see that made the right decisions, like Joseph when he ran from Potiphar's wife. Like the Jews in Nehemiah chapter 10 and verse number 29, when they decided that they would obey and observe to do all according to the law of God. Like Paul, when he said he was ready to be bound, and yea, not bound only, but even to die for the cause of Jesus Christ. So how do you develop decisiveness in your life? This is something that's learned as a child. Maybe you didn't have the opportunity to learn it. Maybe it's something you need to work on or develop later in life here, but you still can. But listen, most of the time, children begin or should be taught to be able to make decisions. There was one parent who sent their son to camp to try and help him make decisions on his own. And they told him before he went, you're going to go and you're going to learn how to make decisions on your own without your mom and dad. And on day number two, he decided to come home. So he decided that on his own. He said, Mom and Dad, I've decided I'm coming home. I don't know if that's what they wanted, but hey, he got the principle. He's making the decision. The thing is, children, typically, their decisions are motivated by self-interest. They're immature, obviously. They need to mature. They need to grow. They need to develop. But the decision they make is motivated by self-interest. It starts with something simple, like we say, just what do you want to eat? And the young just looks and says, what do I want? What do I like? As they get a little bit older, they start to evaluate in their mind the decision process includes, what would Mom and Dad let me have? They're not going to say ice cream. I mean, when they're younger, you say, what do you want? And they say, ice cream. They're not going to say that because they're old enough to know that they're not getting ice cream. They're going to have to get some food. And so they balance that. And then when they get a little bit older, the more mature they are, the less selfish the decision is. When they get to be teenagers, you ask your children what they want, and they'll look at you and say, what can I get? Or they'll look at the cost and say, that's too much. I don't want Dad or Mom to have to pay that much. So I'm just going to get this because they've been taught the value of money. And so they make that decision based off of what? Not just themselves, but who's paying for it. Hey, we go to sometimes we go to some place to eat, and I'll tell the kids, I say, hey, you can get whatever you want. You're paying for it. You're paying for it. Get whatever you want. And hey, they've got money. They can do that. And I said, since you're paying for it, I'll get what I want too. Listen, things that affect our decision making, let me give this to you quickly. First of all, when you're physically ill, when you have a physical problem, many times when you're in a hospital and you're the one that's sick, the doctors, the nurses, they want somebody else making the decisions. Why? Because when you're in the middle of it, that's not the time when you need to be deciding what's best.
They have somebody that's your advocate, somebody that's helping to make decisions. When you're physically ill, is not the time to make decisions. Even you're sick with the flu, is not the time to get online and buy all the stuff you've been wanting. Is not the time to make decisions. So when you're physically ill, when you're emotionally distraught, you've had something happen in your life, whether it's a death in the family. I'll tell you what, some people, they when they're emotionally distraught, they eat. They'll grab a thing of ice cream and sit down and they'll just eat. You know, there's some other people, what they do when they're emotionally distraught, they spend money. That's not wise. You shouldn't make decisions, especially important ones, when you're emotionally distraught. In Genesis chapter 35, verse number 17 to 18, when Rachel was travailing, the Bible says, hard in labor. She named her son Benoni, which means son of my sorrow. I mean, which mother going through labor wouldn't name her son that? This child, oh man, and just son of my sorrow caused me so much pain. But her husband thought better of it and named him Benjamin, which means son of my strength. Son of my strength. What I'm saying is when you're in the middle of something emotional, physical, it's not the time to make a decision. When you're mentally tired, even just wore out, don't make a decision. Just wait and make it later. At the root of every decision is who or what will I serve? Whenever we're faced with critical or crucial decisions, our generation has been taught to ask, what's in it for me? What's going to give me the most pleasure, the most profit, the most security, the most fulfillment? Listen, God's not necessarily opposed to those things, but those are not the guiding principles for our decision making. It should be, what does God want? That's what motivated Lot's decision to go to the well-watered plains. What's the best for me? Oh, I like that. That's going to give me the most benefit. But did it in the end? You know the story of Lot? Didn't help him in the end, did it? Nope. You need three things to make decisions. You need knowledge. There's so much under this knowledge. Get as much knowledge. You know, information is power, and the man with the most information wins. When you're negotiating, the man with the most information is the one that's going to win. So you need information. You need to get all the information, get all the facts. And the facts start with this question. Is this my decision to make? And listen, we could park here for a while, but there's a lot of things that have been given to us right here that they aren't for us to decide. They're just for us to do. God's given it to us. So it starts with, is this my decision to make? Once you've established that maybe God has given you the liberty to make that decision, then get all the information you can. Every prudent man dealeth with knowledge, but a fool layeth open his folly. The heart of a prudent man getteth knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeketh knowledge. Then get good counsel. Getting knowledge is getting counsel. Ask somebody that's been through it. And good counsel comes from somebody that has been there and done that. And won at it. And had the victory. Has accomplished it. Seek good counsel. There's a lot of scripture I can give you. Proverbs 11:14, Proverbs 15:22, 19:20, 20:18, 24:6. All about counsel. For by wise counsel thou shalt make thy war, and in the multitude of counselors there is safety. And then you need understanding. So you need knowledge, you need understanding. Understanding is the ability to measure the consequences and decide if you're going to be able to live with that. The ability, understanding, the ability to apply biblical principles. And then you need wisdom. You need wisdom to make the right decisions. The wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way, but the folly of a fool is deceit. Wisdom is the application of knowledge and understanding. Wisdom is taking time to pray about a decision if you don't know. When I'm praying about something, or I don't have peace about something, or I'm not sure, but I think it's a possibility, I would venture to say, there's a number of you in here have heard me say this. I know my kids have heard me say this. If I have to decide right now, the answer is no. I'll tell them, Something as simple as they want to go over to somebody's house. And I'll say, well, let me think about it. Let me pray about it. And they'll say, well, so-and-so wants to know. And I say, well, if I have to decide right now, the answer is no. Because I haven't had time to pray about it. I haven't had time to think through the scenarios. So don't be forced into a decision. If anybody ever tells you, you have to decide today, the answer is no. Mark it down. Write it down. Anything that's not available tomorrow is not available today. I don't care what they tell you. This deal is for just for today. This deal's run time. It's got to be, you got to sign on the dotted line before you leave this room. You just mark it down. I just saved you a lot of money. You can send me a check in the mail. If it's not available tomorrow, it's not available today. Get understanding. Get knowledge. Exercise wisdom. And God will lead you in the decisions that you make. We need to be decisive. But it's more than just making a decision. It's making a right decision. Biblically sound decision.